welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. And, boy, listen, we got one more Christmas treat, a little bit late. Happy belated birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And, boy, we're bringing you a great film. And we talk a little bit about some of our holiday shopping experiences. And maybe there's a little poo-poo caca stories that we tell. Real highbrow humor this episode, so I hope you're ready. But hey, as we always ask, please, if you could do us the kindness of dropping us a five-star rating on whatever player you listen to us on, Apple Pods or fucking Spotify, leave us a comment, do some shit. Really appreciate it. Costs you absolutely nothing and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Cobra.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
I'm very upset.
Well, I'd like to prep you and let you know everything possible. Still better
than me. That doesn't sound like you. That's not dog. That's not even human.
You haven't even let me know what the words are to your fancy schmancy song that you put together.
Well, we're kicking off the show with it when the movie starts. That's what my plan is. Well, basically, I mean, the song itself, it could just be the episode. I mean, it's just, it recapped pretty much the whole movie in one song. I think it's very inspired by, you know, the Die Hard song has really inspired me when I went back in our archives. And it,
the more I thought about it, it's like he's Cobra, but he doesn't drive a car that's a Cobra.
No.
And he's not in any way involved with Cobra from G.I. Joe.
No, no.
And, you know, it's just so wrong.
It's the most Italian movie of all time. His name's Cabretti. Hey, my name's Cabretti. Should they call me Cobra? You know what I'm saying? Hey, send me here, the most Italian guy in the whole world. It should be exciting.
I don't know if this was before or after. No, it had to have been after Beverly Hills Cop. That he put her in this movie and married her. But I'm thinking, gosh, Sage Stallone must have hated this fucking cunt whore.
Sage Stallone?
Yeah.
Who was Sage? His daughter?
His son.
I thought his son was something else.
Sage Stallone.
Frank Stallone.
His brother.
No, that's a different Stallone.
His brother,
his
who
son
was
is
in Rocky.
Sage? I swear, is that the one who's in Rocky V? That's yes. Sage?
And was also his son in other movies, but wasn't the same actor or his kid, so.
Hey, what's going on? This is Sage Stallone, and welcome to Sage Advice, the podcast starring Sage Stallone.
Who grew up to be one pretty ugly-looking man, so. It's like, I can't have my own kid playing my own kid. He's horrible looking.
He didn't look bad in Rocky V. He looked like he would grow up to be a really cool gay guy. I'm surprised he turned out... Not fucking.
Look, I gave you a little robot. You can talk to.
Why are you calling? Yeah. It had a massive head wound.
Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth.
The final podcast of the year.
This is it. This is the last one before the year. We're giving you a late Christmas episode, which I'm sure is going to, you know, you guys, have you had enough Christmas yet? I don't know.
Before 2020.
Yeah, this is the last one of 2019 right here.
The Barbara Walters episode of the year.
2020, like my vision and my love for breasts. I don't know.
Her love for abortions.
That other that other voice that you hear is none other than my blood, my brother, Mr. Jeremy Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing?
No, it isn't.
Who's joining us this evening?
It's me, Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson? Oh, my gosh, from the movie Cobra?
That's right.
Brian Thompson, what other... I mean, is this your favorite Brian Thompson movie that we're going
not.
Over? What would be your favorite? Willow? You like him in Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
I love him as a Klingon. He was made to be a Klingon.
Okay. Was he a Klingon? Like, obviously, Star Trek somewhere.
I think he was a Klingon at least two or three episodes, but the episode where the commander exchange, they exchanged commanders, and they got him on the Klingon ship, and he had to beat the shit out of Riker had to beat the shit out of Brian Thompson because he was giving an attitude. So
I feel like Brian Thompson just has a real person, like a beat-upable face. He looks like somebody you want to punch.
He looks like he's taken more steroids than any kid in high school.
You know what I remember him most vividly from is that he's one of the bad guys in the show The X-Files. He's like one of the agents that comes after Fox and Scully. He has the green blood that if you prick him, it'll like kill you if you like smell his weird toxic blood.
You're probably right. This was his best role that he ever had that made him the great bad guy that he is. But of course, he'll always be one of the three punk guys that gets killed by the first Terminator. So
yeah, that's true. And he plays Shao Kahn in the sequel to Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, that I saw with Sean Laskowitz in the movie theaters. Went to see a double feature, paid for one, saw both movies. Saw this, and I saw Alien Resurrection in the same day.
Ooh, wow.
What a day of movie going that was, of horrible sequels that I stayed in the movie theater the whole day to watch.
But to think of Thompson and Paxton working together, both of those just... two great careers just from Terminator, and the other punk kid probably didn't do anything else after Terminator. So.
Yeah, he was busy sucking the cock after that day. things been really downhill since the old Terminator scam. Let me tell you.
So, Jeremy, we're past Christmas, which is exciting. We made it through another holiday. Minimal, I think a pretty good Christmas overall. How'd you make out? You were here.
If my wife had not let me have some of her money, nobody would have gotten a single present.
Hell yeah, that's tight.
It was pretty bad.
You got I gave you a pretty cool gift. You were excited about.
That was I don't want to say the best gift.
Why not? Why can't you say it's the best gift?
It
you should
was.
Just say it's the
it
best
was
gift.
The best gift.
Yes.
Let me just shit on everybody else's presents. So
good. They all suck ass. Suck it, Michelle. I got you a Leatherface figure who was a pretty detailed one at that.
Pretty
damn
awesome.
Looked pretty good. And I, for some reason, I was sure in the back of my mind I'd already bought this for you, but I guess
no,
I didn't.
No, you've gotten me one of the open face guy from Day of the Dead action figure. And you might have got me another zombie action figure back in the day that I can't remember.
Man, because when I bought that, I was like, man, I think I gave this to Jeremy already because it looks so cool. And I remember I'd seen it before.
But if there was an action figure I could really, really like, it would be a Chop Top action figure. So,
listen, if he was there, I was going to get it. I'll let you know the other possibilities you were going to get, okay? My third choice, which you didn't get, but it was a dual action figure. It was Ash from Ash versus Evil Dead with the little fucking child demon from that episode. That was pretty detailed and looked rad.
Child demon?
You know, like from Ash versus Evil Dead where he has his kid and the kid pops out and it becomes like this little demon child that's like this big?
Oh, I didn't know they made action figures out of that.
I didn't either, but it was pretty detailed and it looked awesome. But because it wasn't young Ashley Williams, I couldn't do it. So I went. But number two, I almost got you the Reanimator action figure.
Ooh, of Herbert West?
Yeah, Herbert
Ooh,
West.
That would have been pretty sweet.
And
too.
The Herbert West figure, it comes with the little decapitated head of the other guy in his like
nice.
in a pan. So it was pretty good, but the presentation of the Leatherface figurine was far superior.
You know what I'd prefer?
What's that?
I prefer the table with Barbara Crampton spread eagle.
That's so
the
it.
You can use the head.
the Barbara Crampton playset.
I've always loved you.
But man, there's some things that you definitely weren't going to get. But Jeremy, if money were no object, what I would have gotten you, they had for like $250.
Good gosh.
You could get a full queen size alien that was like the size of a small dog. And it looked fucking so, that thing looked awesome. And then they also, for $100 even, did not come with the figure that goes inside it. It was just the vehicle. It was the fucking lift loader from the fucking mech loader from Aliens.
Didn't have Ripley?
You had to buy, Ripley came separate.
Good
if it was
gosh.
A, if it was an even hundo for the pair, I would think about it. But, you know, it looked fucking sweet. And the mech was like this tall. And I was like, man, this thing, I bet you so fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Just play with it all day long. Never take it out of the box. It
makes you want to buy like 100 cheap alien action figures just to have her battle with.
Yeah. I mean,
and explode them. And
I used to have
use your own blood in the playset, you know?
Dude, I had the Aliens action figures back in the 90s that they released, which for children.
Some were really awful.
There was one that was like that was called
the bull.
They had the gorilla alien who had like chomping arms like that. I was like, he looked cool, but it was not an alien that was in the films. And they had Sergeant Hicks. I had the Hicks.
Did they have the Stimutex alien? You know, with the strength of five gorillas.
With the power of Grayskull.
Did they ever make C-Lab action figures?
I'm sure they did in our giant adult child society.
If they only had the Stimutex versions of the action figures. Or what of Marduk, the Marduk action figures.
Yeah, so. That would have been good.
Keep popping those pills, Pilgrim.
God, that would have been sexy. But I remember the coolest one that they had was the Vasquez one that actually had the giant fucking machine gun that came with it. That was the coolest of all of them. And then the thing is with kids action figures, you always have to give them something extra. Like, why else do you buy a Pwn's action figure? Oh yeah, because he's got the bazooka. So because you remember when a Pwn had a bazooka in the movie, you really needed that.
Yeah, everybody else isn't allowed to have their guns, but Apone still has a bazooka down in the plant.
No guns are hot. Only use the water cannon. Stay frosty. Apone releases an Arctic blast.
This is symbolic of us being in Vietnam and not having any power to fight under a democratic ruler. Yes.
So that was fun. So Christmas was over. We played a fun game of Quiplash that, you know, I felt like didn't hurt anybody's feelings at all. And
I'm pretty sure we saw what horrible people we are when your daughter repeated the words sex toy.
Yeah. What's a sex toy? I'm like, leave the room now. Yeah, we played Quiplash in front of my children. And for our listeners who don't know what Quiplash is, it is a fun multi-platform game where you are posed questions that you answer on your phone, and then you and somebody else random in the room are paired up, have the same question, and everyone else in the room gets to vote on the funniest answer. Did you fart and you're waiting for it to get towards me?
I took my shoe off.
And just the smell of your own.
It's got a 5-foot radius of filth.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's fucking horrible. When I get within 5 feet, yes. Put your feet away.
It's unbelievably bad.
Jeremy, this is. I mean, listen, your hygiene is just beyond fucking pure filth.
I didn't think my foot could smell so bad.
Jeremy, everything about you smells horrible.
It just smells like a wet, dirty sock.
I sat next to you through the entire new Star Wars film, and the odor that you just emit from yourself is so strong.
It smells like dead skin.
And it's not the dead skin. There's a shower that could just fix most of it.
I shower every single day.
Okay.
So if you smelled an odor from me, then it's probably from my stank-ass clothes.
Right, so wash your clothes and shower. Can you do the combination?
Some days, I even use deodorant.
You are a filthy monster. I love it.
Whatever. I work inside under a freezer, so.
Oh, that makes up for the smell.
I have been known to do the smelly leave it behind. because as the rose
crop is, dusting,
yeah, I've crop dusted dusting? And left, and I was like, oh wow, somebody's gonna drive through this with their pallet jack.
Ooh,
yeah, baby.
You are a fart smelling machine.
I did poop my pants the other day too.
Okay. And the floor is yours.
You know, like you're like, yeah, I can do this. I can
make it like another minute or two.
And
right?
No, and you realize you pooped in your pants anyway. So, and they were the nicest new, perfectly white briefs that are now have a nice big probably poop stain on them. So,
I haven't pooped myself in a long time. I didn't make it all through 2019. I pooped myself this year, but I did have a poop earlier. That it's upstairs. You can still see it right now. I somehow took a shit and I guess hit the backboard so bad that there is poop like. So, like, you know, there's, like, okay, your seat, and then there's that lip, and then it kind of goes, like, curves in, and yeah. Then down. There is a solid Tootsie Rolls worth of shit still stuck, like as if I tucked it, like, it defied gravity. It looks like I tried to putty up, like, a hole where the water comes out into the bowl somehow. And the water just keeps going around it, and I keep... So, like, I usually will scrub it if it's real bad, but this one I've been really trying to pee off all day today, and I can't get it to budge. It's just, like, just pissing on... There's about a good fucking kidney beans worth of shit still stuck up in there, and just to... I can't barely get to it with the pee, because, like, I have to get lower and try to aim up at it, and it's very difficult.
Did you get to a certain age where... it wasn't so much pooping as it was poop blasting into the toilet?
Well, I found that when I lost weight this year, some of my diet choices kind of changed. I've incorporated nuts into my diet pretty regularly, so my stools have been nothing but just straight fucking granola that comes out. I mean,
It's not the poop itself. It's how it is literally blasted into the toilet so that it easily makes it onto the backboard like a human skull that had exploded. So.
Oh yeah. Well, oh, so when I yeah, when I poop, it's like the end of like the Frosty machine just going. There's so much air that I poop with it now. But no, yeah, that makes sense.
I've been doing it on the regular. I do it on the regular, but I remember the first time I was ever in a bathroom with some dude.
Okay.
This bad story starts that
go
way.
Go on. And the floor is
and
yours.
And you just sit in a stall, and it's quiet as can be until you hear somebody else blast. It's like... just, and you fight so hard to laugh. Where it's mm-hmm. just the natural progression. So, whereas I've been in bathrooms, and I just blast away, and I just hear this little...
I was when I was flying earlier this year, we went to I guess this was when I went to Disney, so it was last year. I went to go shit in like the airport bathroom, and there was some guy who was like really fucking propping it up in the other stall.
How many balloons of heroin do you think he was getting out?
He was muzzling up like a quarter pound into himself, it sounded like. But she was shitting, and like there was a couple that were really big blasts, and I was like, hell yeah, nice. Like that. And he just, I got nothing back. I thought I was going to get some love for, you know, repping his shit.
What
but
were you, like, fist pumping or?
Do you do this? If you're shitting in a bathroom and you look over and there's some guy shitting next to you, do you look at their shoes so that when you guys leave, like, you think, so you can just spot them and be like, yeah, that's the guy that was shitting next to me?
Well, usually I like to put my face underneath the stall.
Hello! Just your friendly neighborhood clown.
And I just smile. So.
That makes sense.
No words, just a smile. So.
No words, just a smile, mm-hmm. huh? Well, that makes... I like that. I like that a lot.
Especially after, you know, using that glory hole for like a good 10 minutes. So
nice.
And you know, it's really hard to make a glory hole, you know?
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have tools and everything.
I like that you bring a make-your-own glory hole tools where you go. I like that. Like, if it doesn't have one, you'll make one.
Well, you start with a good crowbar, you know, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird to walk into a bathroom with a crowbar. So,
I mean, it's weird, but if it's Jeremy weird, I'd say it's not. It barely registers on
but
the
it's
Jeremy
not weird,
weird
if you're
scale.
Wearing like a service uniform. You know?
I guess you're right.
I gotta work on this toilet. And then have gay sex in it.
Don't mind me, gay sexing it up right now. Jeremy, last weekend, I was at the Magoobies Joke House, and one of our top listeners, who will remain nameless.
You're talking about the girl?
Yeah, the girl.
You already named her last week.
Yeah, but by accident, so I'm not going to say it again.
You didn't
but
even edit it out.
I didn't. I noticed that I didn't edit it out, but she also didn't say anything, so I'm not going to change it. Maybe, unless she's listening
to this. So
you
want to call her Claudia?
So Claudia was at the show, and I know I mentioned this, but I mentioned this briefly in our last musical episode when you weren't here.
Mentioned Joe Robinson.
Yeah, so she walks in there, and she was looking for a part. I was like, yeah, just go to talk to Joe and grab one. And she walked up to him. She's like, wait a minute, are you Joe from, like, Quality Time, Joe Robinson? Joe Robinson, who does the 98 Rock, fills in the mornings, is the voice of the Ravens pregame show, Robin Joe show, multiple other platforms that he's immensely more famous for. Got recognized as
well. Obviously, Claudia just listens to nothing but NPR.
Yes, so. That is true. That is true. So, shout outs, Claudia. You were great. You made my day. And thanks for keeping Joe Robinson relevant as fuck. And speaking of Joe Robinson, it's time for some Joe Robinson corrections. Okay, so I'm going to read this just how it says. Okay, Jeremy says, regarding my correction, Gary Oldman played Drexel Spivey as the White Rasta. He says, he's not really a White Rasta. Notice my correction in quotes. That's what he said. He's not really a White Rasta.
Well, just because he looks like a Rasta, he's going to be a real Rasta?
Because I'm quoting Jeremy, good Lord. Okay. So the correction was that you were calling him not really a White Rasta because he was quoting you.
Okay.
So for us to correct him was wrong. I'm confused.
I don't either.
Okay. Connie Selica is not a female greatest American hero. She's a female on the greatest American hero. Guess you said Connie Selica.
That's fair.
That's fair? I don't like that you're not contesting these. This is more fun. And also, he goes, it's Cannibal the Musical, you idiot. And you called it Cannibal Holocaust, I believe.
Which we Cannibal did. Holocaust the Musical. That was much better than Cannibal the Musical. So.
Which I did correct, I think, during the show, but you deserved that again. And that's the end of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Because, you know, Cannibal Holocaust just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I mean, it's like piece of carrots, man.
It's like saying South Park without saying South Park. Just say South instead of South Park.
That makes sense. Anyway, Jeremy, tonight, you ready to get into tonight's topic?
Of course.
Well,
always.
You know, usually I have
fun.
Can
we talk about the album that I made for my wife?
Oh, do you have Christmas songs that you want to do? Jeremy?
No, but I did. I made a whole album for my wife for Christmas.
A whole album for your wife for Christmas?
Yeah. You can't hear any of the songs because I gave them to her.
Well, let me. Can we do this, Jer?
I was just going to give you the list.
Okay, give me the list. Has handed to me a list of. So this is an album that you made as a gift for your wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Your loving wife that you didn't have money to buy Christmas gifts for.
So I made all these songs for
her. So you made all these songs, and these are the song titles that we're reading out right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Christmas for the Wife, track one. All I Can Give You for Christmas is a Song. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Second.
It's pretty. Oh, they're all true.
Fuck Christmas. Okay. Cut off my dick, bitch. Sorry you married a loser, in quotation, and then in parentheses, soon I'll be dead. Not a man anymore. Okay. Drowning this Christmas. All right. Ain't getting any this Christmas. Okay, like any sexual intercourse.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Suicidal Christmas, no Pepsi or Coke. Don't know that.
Yeah, all I asked for was a Pepsi, and she wouldn't give it to me.
Okay.
So.
A very shitty Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll probably get worse. Okay.
Yep.
White Christmas means higher oil bills. Okay.
We really, really hope it doesn't snow this Christmas, because we can't afford all this extra oil.
There's one track, it's just called Belching.
Yeah, that was a track where I just belched into the microphone for like 5 minutes. She couldn't listen to all 5 minutes, though.
This one's
she
called,
said that was the one that she hated the most.
This one's called I Left the Gun Out, Why Didn't You Shoot Me?
Yeah.
And so. And the last one, Make Me a Blessing. All right, nice. That's good.
Yeah, well, you gotta, you know, even it out. So
I like it. You went happy, and then you bring us back up with that. So that's good.
Well, you know, when I say make me a blessing, I mean, as long as the insurance is paid off for my death. So
nice. Now, Jeremy, did you want to share any of these Christmas songs, or is this for later in the show?
No, you can't hear any of them because I didn't actually make them.
So. Oh no. Okay.
That's
got
for
it.
Later.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah. So I guess we're going to get it straight, jump into tonight's topic, huh?
Yeah.
I only stumbled over my own words and stuff right, like a little bit right there.
But, I don't know what you're talking about.
Tonight's topic is the 1986 cult classic and Christmas story of wonderment, Cobra. And Jeremy, normally I bring up some of the cheesy music from the movie, which this movie has boatloads of. Like this song right here. This song is bad. You better wake up, little Johnny, better wake up real soon. Time has gone now for me and you.
Can you name another soundtrack from this composer?
Did he do Rocky IV?
I'm pretty sure he did Aliens.
And Aliens.
James Horner.
Okay, James Horner. Who knew?
I might even look that up. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Not a hundo on that one, huh? Not a hundo on it.
But I'm a big James Horner fan, so.
Dude, you've been horny for Horner for years. I knew that.
No, Aliens is one of my top five soundtracks of all time. Anything, one of the few that isn't a John Williams.
Oh, okay, interesting. Well, Jeremy, I made a little track here to for the movie Cobra, and it's I don't know. I guess it kind of like puts the movie in a nutshell. I think before we get started, I think it's maybe if they ever re-released it, maybe they'd put it on like the soundtrack or something.
Yeah.
So here we go, Jerry. Here's my Cobra song I worked really hard on this week for.
Are you ready for the most Italian movie of all time? It's gonna make Rocky look like he's French. He's a cop named Marion Cabretti. Crime is a disease, and he is the cure. He has lasers on his machine guns, and he's part of the zombie squad.
Now it's time for fucking Cobra. Now it's time for fucking Cobra.
He hired a really hot lady to be in this movie, but he also married for a brief time.
Now it's time for fucking Cobra. Now it's time for fucking Cobra.
I always have a matchstick in my mouth. It doesn't matter. I'm always ready to start a
Your
fire.
Your ass is about to get hung from a meat hook.
Oh, do you think you're ready? You're not.
Oh,
Give me a moment so that I can check the laser sights on my submachine guns, because I check them for accuracy all the time. Back again, and just as Italian as ever, I dare some Frenchman to even step to me. The police are out of bounds. Now it's time for fucking Cobra. Now it's time for fucking Cobra. Discretion is my biggest enemy. I don't sneak anywhere. I come in the front door. No more bullets. Guess you'll just eat this grenade. Grenades are high in fiber and very strong with calcium. Ha ha ha. And I will ride away on a motorbike of a guy I just killed.
That was Cobra.
So whose motorcycle is this? Zed's.
Where's Zed?
Zed's dead, baby. Shouldn't every good guy ride away on a motorcycle at the end of a movie?
Did you like that sweet guitar solo I stuck in the middle
of? Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
I was off 2 days of work, and that's what I did in my days off, was record that beautiful metal track right there.
Save that music for the next real lyric someday. So
yeah, I did. I did just kind of scream over it. It's such a good track. I did kind of waste it without actually writing anything. But
that's what comedy is all about. So.
But now it's time for fucking Cobra. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad.
Oh, by the way, can you take out that thing I said about James Horner coming? Because I'm completely wrong.
Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah, I'll remove it.
the composer was actually LaVey. So.
Anton LaVey.
Yeah,
nice.
Anton LaVey. So.
Hell yeah, that's good.
Leader of the Satanic Church. Who has done a lot of big films, but not the one I was thinking of, Aliens. So.
Did you ever hear the Anton LaVey? Isn't that his name, the guy who plays the Church
of
Satan?
I considered him Antoine.
Antoine LaVey.
So you're probably right, it's Anton LaVey.
Yeah, here it is.
I even used to call the devil sign a LaVey.
Did you ever see Anton LaVey playing like this giant like kaleidoscope organ right here?
No.
Oh man, this is a great video, Jeremy. I'm pulling it up right now. Here you go. Look.
Oh, and by the way, if you play this backwards, it's Dead Skin Mask by Slayer. So
there's something so whimsical about this sweet Satanist playing this.
Everybody knows if you have like more than 10 synthesizers, you're definitely into Satan. So. And by the way, he can't play anything else. This is the only thing he can play, so. This is when he tried out for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but it wasn't cool enough, so he didn't make the band.
And God cast me out from heaven because I wouldn't stop playing the organ. Because
I wouldn't kiss the guitarist from Sabotage's ass.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
But I will get my revenge someday. Can you see like Pogo dancing to this?
I can.
Anton LaVey?
100%. 100%.
I'm so glad you turned me on to this.
Thank you. I mean, you know, every once in a while I show you something pretty special.
Actual clown song. What gets better than the leader of Satanism playing the clown song? So,
you know, there's not much better in this world, Jeremy, other than to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, than hear the lamentations of the women. So, the movie opens up with this wonderful announcement by the lead actor, Sly Stallone.
In America, There's a burglary every 11 seconds. An armed robbery every 65 seconds. A violent crime every 25 seconds. A murder every 24 minutes. And 250 rapes a day.
Oh, man. Cobra. And the movie's called Cobra because they call in the Cobra for the lead Sylvester Stallone's role, Marion Cabretti. The Cobra. Mm-hmm. What a badass name. Mm-hmm. What a badass name. It opens up and there's this bizarre murder cult that's just clacking axes together. They're like, there's this murder cult that is just out to kill people, and they're doing like murder Pilates, I guess is the best way to describe it. Like they're in the basement of like a diggy thing and they're just clacking things. They're like, all right, five more, and cling, clack, cling, clack.
I'm pretty sure that they just couldn't afford to actually include the another brick in the wall during that. So, all in all, it's just another brick in the wall. Which is the sign of you know, the wall is the hammer
and the sickle. And the sickle. Yeah.
The
makes
hammer,
sense.
The two hammers. But instead, they have axe handles. Axes.
So a fellow walks into a grocery store shortly after this. You'll notice that it is Christmas time, falling in our Christmas theme. This guy, I don't know who the actor is, but he looks like the son of Edward James Olmos, if that makes sense. Right, Jeremy? You familiar with the guy from the opening scene?
Yeah, just a little less pockmarked.
And he walks in and just starts blowing people away with a shotgun, which is pretty badass. I enjoy it. I think that was the sound of my dog throwing up in the basement. So we'll get that in a bit.
This guy, otherwise known as Marco Rodriguez, he plays Roger Hernandez in Eastbound and Down.
Ah, nice.
Oh, and he's also a voice as Marco Rodriguez in Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, nice.
Very good.
How many other parts does this guy play where his name is Marco?
Another film?
Mm-hmm.
Hamlet as Mr. Marquez. Hamlet 2. You know, the sequel to Hamlet.
Hamlet 2.
So.
Oh,
that's right. And he's not... isn't the original Scarface, but he's in the video game version as Marco Rodriguez. So...
Okay, he does play a lot of Marcos. So.
Dude, he's had a big freaking career.
So the cops quickly surround the place, but negotiations are not going very well. It means it's time to call in some reinforcements.
You just skipped over the most important part of the movie.
What's that?
That while he's doing his shooting spree, he shoots an actual cart that explodes into the air when he shoots it. A grocery cart explodes.
Well,
and
that's what shotguns do. Well, in the movie, shotguns don't just destroy. They blast things. They make things explode.
What was in the shopping cart that made the shopping cart blow up into the air shot with a shotgun?
No, my helium! God damn it!
I remember watching this, like, why the fuck did they do that unless it's a joke and it's funny, so... Did you see him just shoot that grocery cart? Oh my gosh!
Well, for some reason, shotguns in the movie, they always lift things off of the ground for some reason. They never blast you in... They defy gravity and blast you like 50 feet into the air,
exactly.
Like on wires.
Like
so,
a Men in Black gun.
I mean, if anything, it's just keeping trend with Hollywood physics at that point. So...
Because that's why all guns need to be banned, because they do things like that. So.
See, now we're talking. This is more of the liberal agenda that they're showing in the films here. So, next, the cops need to call in some backup.
Need us a little more time. We can get control of the situation.
What control?
Did I miss it all?
Listen, All we need is a little more time. We can get control of the situation.
What control?
Okay, I guess I just did
that
not.
That was awesome.
The clip is supposed to be call in Cobra, but I guess I got everything around that that wasn't that. in comes the Cobra. He's driving around in his like 1950s Mercury, which actually owned by Sylvester Stallone. That's his real car that he brought to the set here, living off that Rocky III money right now, and.
I was at least Rocky IV by then.
Well, Rocky IV comes out the same year as this. So Rocky IV, he probably wasn't living off the money for that. He's probably living off Rocky II and III money right now.
Okay.
So in comes Cabretti, and the Cobra infiltrates the supermarket very stealthily by just walking in the front door. I guess this guy just isn't watching. He's not watching the door at all. He's just like,
yeah, you need to do that. Hey, lady, do you think you could just unlock the door for me?
And just right in. So he infiltrates. The lights are off inside for some reason. He takes a second to drink a Coors Original that he then throws as a distraction, and then finally makes his way over to the intercom system.
Hey, dirtbag. You're a lousy shot.
Now I remember. Okay, my greatest memory of Rodriguez is Star Trek, when they go to the planet that has the killer robots that are meant to kill everybody, like Riker and Denise Crosby. When Riker sees this captain, it's Captain Paul Rice, all of a sudden shows up and he's like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "Oh, I just wanted to ask you some questions. Like, what's the armament of your ship?" And Riker's like, "The lollipop. The good ship lollipop."
That's where he's
but
from.
But he's got
huh?
such a recognizable face. Like, I knew I saw him from something. I was very recognizable.
So he finally comes face to face with the guy who's also holding a bomb, oddly enough. Shotgun pointed at the helpless patrons curled up on the freezer floor. And all of a sudden, we get to hear this line drop here.
"I don't want to talk to you. Now you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring it in."
"Can't do that."
"Why?"
"I don't deal with psychos. I put them away."
"I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero. You're looking at a fucking hunter. I'm a hero of the new world."
"Your disease, and I'm the cure."
Whoa.
And also, boys don't cry.
So he then takes a knife and throws a knife into his chest, and then puts about 5 or 6 slugs into his chest with his .45 that also has a Cobra on
the
gun.
"By the way, I'm the cure. Friday, I'm in love."
"Friday, I'm in love." So the Cobra successfully saves the day. I don't think he was actually holding a real bomb. I'm guessing it was fake because it's not explained whether it is or isn't. There's a lot of loopholes in this movie. What I was reading about it is that originally this movie clocked in at 90 minutes, and they decided to cut. It was originally supposed to be an hour longer than this, so an extra hour of little things like explaining that it wasn't a bomb or anything.
I thought it was kind of I don't know. It's just kind of ironic that while he was drinking that Coors, there was a big Pepsi display right next to him.
Oh, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good product placements for Pepsi.
Would
in
you
this.
Say there's more product placements of Pepsi in this movie somewhere?
Oh yeah, the giant billboard that shows up later outside
that he
of his house.
Has to fight right in front of.
You know, sometimes I love this property, but it's the giant Pepsi sign is why I moved here. That's right outside my door.
Wait a second, there's bad guys. I have to get in front of the placement sign before we stop fighting. So
I like when 80s was the master of like product placement stuff, right? Like
I'm pretty sure they were really originally going to call the movie Pepsi Cobra.
Pepsi Cobra.
Yes. My name's Pepsi. Pepsi Cobra.
So the press asks if this has anything to do with the Night Slasher. And the press is already chomping at the bit outside of the place.
I asked the question, was it necessary for it to end like this? Come on, Alyssa, did you have to die?
Come on, Alyssa, listen to this asshole.
Question is, Cabretti, did you use unnecessary deadly force?
I used everything I had.
Now, what is this, a public forum? Come on, we have
work. You wait, my here. Viewers have the right to know what makes a policeman, a judge, and a jury. People have rights.
Rights? You think a maniac who just blew a kid's heart out for nothing should have rights?
That doesn't concern you, and no matter what you think, people are entitled to protection by the law.
I am the law.
You tell that to his family, huh?
Oh, he puts him right in, like, the... pulls up the white sheet and just shows him a dead kid.
Wouldn't that be ironic if like, he was, like, a judge and,
a
cop at the same time?
Yeah, and he also demolition manned people.
And to think, I think when did Judge Dredd come out? It was like as a comic, was it 83?
I guess the comics in the 80s, but the movies like mid 90s, around there.
It was definitely after the Anthrax did a song on it, which was like 85 or 86.
Well, I can tell you that the newest Judge Dredd that came out in like 2012 is still the best of the Judge Dredd series, which I heard they're making a sequel to that Judge Dredd soon, which I am fucking turgid over.
I would like to see Judge Dredd versus Death. So,
man, it's making some good stuff. I really do love that new Dredd, that 2012 Judge Dredd was a fucking 10 out of 10, man.
And you know the worst about the series is that Judge Dredd goes to Baltimore and dies.
Yeah, so. That's... Baltimore. Oh, that's too tough a town for me.
You can handle New York, but not Baltimore.
Not here.
The death zone capital. Can't do it at all.
Well. So, next, we see Cobra getting into a small parking dispute with a cholo outside of his place. He uses his car to bump his car out of the way and then rips his shirt off to expose that he's wearing a wire. Also not explained at all why this random guy is just, I guess he's just trying to drop dimes only on Cobra to find if he's a bad cop.
I totally missed that. I thought he was just dissing him. I never saw the wire.
Yeah, he rips his shirt off, and he's clearly wearing like a wire, like a microphone that's taped to his chest. He's like, "Ah, come on, Cabretti, what's going on? You want to talk to me?"
So he's
a snitch, but only for cops. And he's very comfortable hanging out with the rest of his gang member friends. Like right after that, like it's not a big deal. I don't know, but it happened. So
damn gangs trying to put a wire on cops.
He heads up to his apartment, which is like pristine, super white, looks very LA-ish in there, to sit down at his office desk, which has multiple monitors, which I don't think he uses for anything, and just eating pizza.
Why is he not living in a trailer on the beach? That's what I want to know.
It seems like way too clean of a house for a guy named Cabretti. Okay,
which by the way is the best scene from the movie where they shoot up the fucking trailer on the beach. Bruce Willis comes out, "Wrong house! They live down the street!"
What movie are you referring to?
The one with Emilio Estevez where he's having a love scene and he's like, "I hear a helicopter."
Oh, Hot Shots Part 2?
It was one of those films,
Lethal Weapon or Loaded Weapon.
Loaded Weapon. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm remembering.
And after shooting up the trailer, Bruce Willis comes out. It's the wrong trailer.
I got you now. Now I'm on point with your reference.
Oh, gosh.
I like when you make me really reach for it. That's what I'm making earn
like
it.
The second Samuel L. Jackson movie of all time.
Okay.
Back when he was still only in his 70s.
So there's also, it's clearly another reason this is a Christmas movie. He turns on the TV so you can hear this. While he's cleaning his guns.
Ah, Toys R Us. You know, Toys R Us is gone. Oh, that's not right. They brought it back after they bought out. There's one store now.
And then we hear this news report about the Night Slasher.
Tonight, the man known as the Night Slasher has apparently struck for the 16th time in just over a month's time. The 22-year-old victim was mutilated with a sharp instrument and seemed to be just as unlikely a victim as the other 15. Not much else is known other than that the Night Slasher preys upon anyone. His victims have included businessmen, Asian immigrants, the elderly, and in one case, a sexually assaulted child.
Not
the serial killer has thrown the city into a
not Asian immigrants.
A growing panic.
Press conference for Night Slasher says, "I'm really getting into this slashing at night thing." So.
Oh yeah. So Night Slasher, real bad dude.
And blondes over the height of 6'5".
So. Yes, yes. Next we see a windowless van pull up in front of a diner. Waitress comes out. Pair of dudes donning pantyhose over their faces and axes come out, yoke her out of her car, and murder her, but don't really show the gory violence, just implied that bitch is dead as fuck.
And had RoboCop been there, all of their genitals would have been shot off.
Exactly. So. Put down the axe. Ah, my dick! You shot me in my dick again! Now, it's I guess it's worth noting that this is coming off the heels of a very successful film, Beverly Hills Cop, which Sylvester Stallone was actually slated to be the role of Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop. I think they went with the better choice in Eddie Murphy. But he took a lot of the ideas, like... Basically, Sylvester Stallone wanted to make Beverly Hills Cop this movie Cobra, basically. He was going to make it this violent and fucking awesome. But instead, we got a whimsical tale with Nick Nolte. So, or was that another 48 hours? You know, I can barely remember. Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, the good soundtrack.
Where Eddie Murphy fights the same bad guy, but now he's a cyber enemy. So
Cabretti goes to the autopsy room because he's a beat cop who's allowed at the autopsy now, and he's still chewing on a matchstick, loving his life. He wants to be involved, but can't stop spinning like the knives that are in the. He's like, you know, if I see something, I gotta spin it. And I was like, I guess I needed to note that he also spins his gun when he puts it away, like you know, as cops do, and
RoboCop does.
And he leaves them with this thought:
if I may say something, Captain. If we let Cabretti use his tactics, we're asking for a lot of trouble.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that he works on the zombie squad and he should stay there.
You tell me where I should stay now?
Hey, it's nothing personal. We're just different kinds of cops, that's all.
Cobra, like Monty says, you're on the zombie squad. You're a specialist that does a job nobody wants, all right? But we can't go shaking down. People will have internal affairs jumping down our throats.
Yeah, well, then we lost.
Boss, what do you mean lost?
Because as long as we have to play by these bullshit rules and the killer doesn't, we're going to lose.
Did people just decide to have,
what do you
like...
do?
There's nothing we can do except wait.
What?
For it to happen again.
Because the cops have too many rules.
Do people just decide to cast, like, the craziest casting they have? Like, why don't we get the guy who played Zodiac in the original Dirty Harry to be the head honcho cop in this? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, why? Why?
And we'll get the guy from Hellraiser to play the other guy.
Exactly.
And,
so...
You know, I always find it, you got to have a nutty cast. It really breaks it up. Real nutty. You got to have Gonzalez, the wisecracking...
So he's gone full circle from being the bad guy from Dirty Harry to being the cop that hassles the Dirty Harry cop as a cop. So
yes, yes. So...
Welcome to Daddy.
Next, we see the same van running down some... rear end some lady. This time they got a lady with them. Mm-hmm. And Brigitte Nielsen actually drives by and witnesses the murder, or at least part of the murder. They get her license plate, and as she drives off, we can see the lady shortly after there. It's revealed that she's a cop. Ooh. And so that she basically pulls the tags and finds out where Brigitte Nielsen lives. And they, yeah, so they find out where she lives. It's worth noting that Brigitte Nielsen wearing a real bad wig through this whole movie. Like, it's very clearly not her hair at any point, except when she does, like, this photo shoot that we're coming up on. She does not a redhead. There's nothing about her that says, I have red strawberry hair at all. But she wears it the whole film to give her, I guess, a homegirl look when she's clearly an Amazon woman of great beauty.
And her horrible... Her face, whatever that thing is, the Madonna,
the mole. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Nice. So then they call in Cabretti.
Well, I won't waste any time. You know almost every sicko in this city. Shake him down. Do what you have to do to get a lead on this maniac.
If I find him,
do what you do best.
Then try not to waste the wrong guy, huh? But then again, what do you care? Right?
You're a loose cannon, Cabretti. So, like all Sylvester Stallone movies, they now have a montage in the middle of the film as he goes and shakes down the city for clues. Now, what do we see during this shakedown? Well, first he goes down to shake down the trans community. And he's just like, let's go find the real monsters in here. We got to ask all the trans people if they've seen anything. Now, all
which,
this,
by the way, it has nothing to do with the film. He just likes visiting trans.
He's just like,
I got to visit some trans people.
First of all, this song is just ridiculous. And this whole montage is also capped off by the fact that Brigitte Nielsen is doing a photo shoot with robots the whole time. It's a bizarre scene. I mean, it's just very weird. Now, Jeremy, did you notice who the photographer is?
No.
Who's taking the pictures?
Ron Jeremy?
No, no, no. He gets roughed up very soon after this, but the guy who's taking all the pictures of Brigitte Nielsen is Sledgehammer.
Oh, that's right, David Rash.
There you go, David Rash. From the show Sledgehammer, a great... Gotta be the angel of the city. There's no easy way out home when you're in the streets. So he checks a couple of tattoo places. So many weirdos. So many robots. And finally, they end the photo shoot. The lights go out. And the murderous cult waits out in the parking garage for Brigitte Nielsen. The killers attack, but they end up getting Dan, the guy who's Sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. And they also just kill a random bystander who's just like, hey, what's going on? No, no, I got an axe to the fucking gut. What did I was just walking. So, all of a sudden, the cop that went back upstairs and sees that Brigitte Nielsen's bag, he comes back down the stairs or in the elevator. He comes back down the elevator. The elevator door opens. She's like, run for your life. They're coming. He opens fire. Can't hit the side of a goddamn barn as this giant, massive man wielding a knife is coming at him. And then that guy gets into a van and just runs him over full fucking speed up against the
and I'm thinking, did they have a fake elevator or did they run a car into an elevator?
I don't know, but it was pretty badass. That
would have been
a
major,
good stunt.
Major faux pas in a movie's budget right there if they did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would be big bucks.
Why don't we just run it into the elevator? You know how much that's going to cost?
Are you out of your fucking mind? We don't have fixed elevator budget at all.
Oh,
get
yeah.
out of
you
here.
Fix an elevator?
So,
hello, Teamsters.
After the car crash, Brigitte Nielsen's able to hide as the police sirens near and the killers flee. Now, Cabretti and Gonzalez go to visit her in the hospital. We see the cult cop peeking in at them through the window very suspiciously, and she fesses up to seeing the murders earlier that night.
I think there was three of them.
Do you think you would recognize me if you saw him again?
The tall one?
Yeah. The one that wants to kill you.
the one that wants to kill you.
Did he have a giant jawline?
Now, did he look? Did he look like his face was molded out of like a plastic mold
did
or something
like
that?
Did he look
like
he might be a Klingon?
Did he look like he was ever trying to kill Agent Fox Mulder?
Did he look like he did steroids and juiced a lot?
Did he look like he ever wanted to box him like an Italian guy like me?
Was he white or black?
Did he ever look like a fucking WAP cop or something like that? Did he ever look like that?
Was he taller than 4 foot?
Oh, man. So,
worst police investigation ever.
This is it. We're at the worst
suspect
whatever.
Suspect was over four feet tall.
Yes.
And was white.
Well, the case is closed right here. We can't
I think
we've
narrowed it down to about a million.
Yeah, the only person I can really open up to is Gary Busey. He's the only one I can ever talk to.
He's got a crazy knife that only crazy people buy off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is worth noting the crazy knife that the slasher walks around with, which has like knuckles with spikes on the front of it. It looks like a mini Klingon Batleth.
I'm pretty sure that's the official knife from the movie Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal!
Fact 2000.
So, Jeremy, I think we're at a part in the story where we've reached our end times for episode one
end
of Cobra. Episode one is
so
now
the next episode.
Ended.
We can talk much more about our body bowel movements.
Yeah, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of what we can do with
this week
the BM.
On body bowel movements hey, with the Woodworth brothers.
This week on spraying from your niece. sorry, Eric and Jeremy. Hey, this week I'm spraying from your knees. I spray from my knees again. I got a squatty potty. I'm going to say how I spray.
If that doesn't help our listenership, I don't know what can.
I think our female viewership appreciated the poop segment the most. Probably more than
we
anybody.
We have no shame.
I mean, we have it. It's just, it's been gone for a while, guys, if I'm being honest with you. You know, we just don't have the same.
I hate to say that I didn't have a 5-second segment for every one of those songs for my wife. So,
well, you know, maybe we'll share it next.
But you and I know that I'd made real songs for my wife that were quite heartfelt, but are too personal for this broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. We can't. You know, broadcasting for the fucking world. You know, sometimes we don't bring out the fucking pearls in front of the swine listenership. So, anyway, you can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. I got a bunch of shows coming up in January and some more shit coming up in February. I'm coming up north in Maryland and D.C. and all these fucking places. So check that shit out. You know, if you're listening to this on Monday, you can come out Wednesday night to Gooby's Joke House. I'm going to be there for a special murder mystery. It's called The Final Countdown. I play Beauregard Buford Dubois. It's going to be great. Jeremy, take us out.
It's The Final Countdown.